So that's a great overview. Why don't we sort of go into a bunch of these things and also some of the work that you've done. I'm curious about your paper looking at cytogenetic evolution between diagnosis and relapse in AML. Can you comment on what you looked at there?
So this is a very interesting phenomenon, and not only for chromosomal changes, but also for mutational assessment as well. In the current era, when a patient is diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia, they have both cytogenetic testing, meaning karyotypic analysis of the leukemic or malignant cells in the marrow. In addition, they also have mutational profiling. Those testing parameters can be done at baseline, during the course of treatment, or at remission. And at least in academic centers, we don't necessarily recommend that these be done at every setting, but at academic centers, we can sort of see the evolution of the disease as changes occur. For example, certain karyotypic anomalies can go away. Some new ones can be detected at relapse or at time of remission. And additionally, mutational testing can signal the appearance or disappearance of various mutations during the course of the patient's disease diagnosis, treatment, and subsequent outcome, whether it's relapse or continued remission. So, and more recently, we can also kind of follow the variant allelic fraction, seeing whether the burden of mutation changes over time. This is not standard. This is something that we do academically at the current time. But over time, we might be able to kind of get a better idea of whether we can predict who will do well, who will relapse, and perhaps reserve the more aggressive approaches in those individuals who have remnant disease or new high-risk features once they achieve remission.
What about the issue of evolution as it relates to what you were talking about in terms of targeted therapy, specifically FLT3? How often do you see a patient who starts out to be FLT3 negative and becomes FLT3 positive and vice versa?
It's not too uncommon, to be honest, Neil. I mean, I think FLT3 mutations oftentimes portend a worse prognosis. About a third of patients in the upfront setting with acute myeloid leukemia have FLT3 mutations. There are two types. The more common variant is the internal tandem duplication variant, the ITD. The less common variant is the tyrosine kinase domain mutation, the TKD. Both oftentimes lead to a proliferative monocytic presentation of AML and a poor prognosis, not necessarily because these patients achieve remission at a lower rate, but they are much more likely to have relapses following that remission, whether it's after transplant or while in remission following chemotherapy. FLT3 mutations can go away following achievement of remission, and patients who are FLT3 wild type can have FLT3 ITD relapses because FLT3 mutations are considered later mutations in the evolution of AML as opposed to some of the earlier alterations that we see. We had a case recently of a patient at our hospital, which we've seen over the years here and there, who actually was diagnosed with a high-grade myelodysplasia, not AML, but high-grade myelodysplasia, with increased blasts, was FLT3 wild-type at diagnosis, underwent treatment with hypomethylating agents, achieved some degree of response, went to an allogeneic bone marrow transplant from a related donor, and approximately 9 to 12 months afterwards relapsed, but this time relapsed with fulminant FLT3 ITD aggressive AML. So in that setting, obviously the patient developed that FLT3 clone, probably persisted at a very low level, and then reemerged following the transplant.